Good morning. We're continuing with Hilchos Shabbos, Chol Chavtes, and we did Siman Hey, and we talked about the issue of opening up something. Is there heter amira la'akum? Can one ask a non-Jew to do it? So the two possible ways to ask a non-Jew to do something: one is we ask the non-Jew directly, "Please do this for me," which would involve iser amira la'akum. You're asking a non-Jew to do something which is usur. Another one is to use what's known as remes, hinting, saying I cannot use it as is, and the non-Jew will realize on its own what to do, and that will avoid the problem of Amir Lakum, because you do not ask him to do it. However, we have to clarify that there's a third issue when it comes to Amir Lakum. So we mentioned two right now. One is the act of asking a non-Jew to do something, which you avoid by saying it indirectly. And the second issue is the non-Jew was doing something for you, which, since you didn't tell him what to do, he's not doing it for you, doing it on his own volition. But there's a third issue, which is benefiting from the action of the non-Jew. And one is not allowed to benefit from the maisa of a non-Jew, which is done for a Jew, even if the non-Jew does it of his own volition, without any directive and from the Jew. So over here, the non-Jew is opening this for the Jew, even though the Jew did not ask him to do so, but that's what's happening. So one is not allowed to benefit from that. So what one is not allowed to benefit from is a direct benefit, but an indirect benefit is mutter. So for example, if the person is in a room which is dark and it's not possible to read, and they cannot ask a non-Jew to put the light in for them, that's a mir lakum. They're asking a non-Jew to do a malacha for them. If the non-Jew realizes that the Jew needs light and turns on the light for the Jew, the Jew cannot benefit from that light. He's having direct benefit from the light. If the non-Jew turns on the light for himself, he walks into the room and he wants to read himself, he turns on the light for himself, the Jew can benefit because he's not doing the malacha for a Jew. But in the case where he's doing the malacha for the Jew, one cannot benefit from that because it was malacha being done by a non-Jew for a Jew. It's also the benefit from that. Let's say the opposite is true. The light is on. The person wants to go to sleep. They find it hard to sleep with the light on, so they can't ask a non-Jew to turn off the light. Again, you're asking a mir lakum. But if the non-Jew of his own realizes that it's hard for the Jew to sleep and turns off the light for the Jew, that's considered an indirect benefit. He's removing the impediment to the sleep. He's not giving him something. He's taking away something. He's removing an impediment. Removing an impediment is called an indirect benefit, and that's mutter. So we want to get to the contents of the kli. So I need some. What's written in the envelope is important to me. I need to see it. So the when the non-Jew tears the envelope, he's doing an indirect benefit, not a direct benefit. He's taking away the impediment. Let's say the non-Jew is opening up a container, a cereal box, which you then want to use as a cereal box. So he's creating something for you. So that's a direct benefit. He's making the box. If he opens the box in a destructive fashion, so you're not using the box, it just is to get to the food inside, he's removing an impediment. So that's called an indirect benefit. And so our purpose is one can use remes, hinting only in a scenario where the result is going to be something you're allowed to benefit from. But the result is something you may not benefit from. Not only is there an issur of benefiting, but actually even the heter remes, the Sharetzion suggests, would be usur. Remes is only allowed, hinting is only allowed in a scenario where it's an indirect benefit. In the case where a person would hint and then not be allowed to benefit, he should not have hinted to start with. Even the hinting itself is considered problematic. So the person says to the non-Jew, I can't read the letter because it's inside the envelope. So that's a hint. the non-Jew picks up the hint and says, okay. If he asks a Jew, do you want me to open it for you? The Jew cannot say yes, because then the Jew is giving him a command, which is usually what happens. He says, do you want me to open it for you? The only thing the Jew can say is, I can't read it as is. He can repeat himself. So the non-Jew will realize that, hopefully, they will realize that he has something he needs to do without being asked. If many times what will happen is the person will say, well, do you want me to open it for you? And the Jew says, well, I can't read it as is. Do you want me to open it for you? I can't read it as is. And then the conversation becomes useless. But assuming that the non-Jew makes the hint, so that situation will be more to, in a case where there's going to be a tikkun taking place, where you're fixing the paper is folded on itself and glued together, and you want to open it up, so you're doing a tikkun in the item itself. That's a direct benefit to the tikkun in the item itself, that ramas would not be mutter. In that situation, we'd have to come on to other swaras to be mutter, etc., if there are. But this idea of ramas would not be relevant in that case. Have a good day.